trumpet call. So lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee. And out of Zion's hill salvation comes. And these are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sore, do we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, so lift your voice, the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. These are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding the temple of praise. Jehovah, there's no God like 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 Jehovah. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, and the trumpet calls, so lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes, out of Zion's hill salvation comes.
Amen.
Isaiah 43, a voice cries, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord, make a straight in the desert, a highway for our God.
Amen. Amen to that. Amen to that. Hey, join me in a word of prayer. Father, we come before you today. Lord, thank you that you would gather us together, Lord, to come and sing praises to you. Lord, as we get to open your word, Lord, and be drawn closer to you, I pray and I ask that, Lord, first and foremost, we would just put everything aside that's hindering our worship, that's hindering our praise, that, Lord, is hindering us being transformed. And so, Lord Jesus, we pray and we ask right now that you would just cast all that stuff aside. That, Lord, you would turn our gaze upon you. Father, as we come to the river, Lord, the river of life, we need to be changed. We need to be made alive. We need to be born again. And so, Father, we just come and we trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we surrender ourselves in this moment, in this time, to the work that you're going to do. And so, Holy Spirit, have your way. Do with us anything you see fit for your kingdom and your glory. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Have a seat real quick. I just got a couple of announcements. I'll try to get through these really quick because this is like the worst part of church, right? Right? The announcements? Okay. But as it's a really good day today. And I know... How many of you are happy to be in the house of the Lord? That's theologically unsound. You're supposed to say, Pastor, I am the house of the Lord. We just gathered under a roof, all right? Okay, so who's happy to be in the house of the Lord? I give up. Okay. Yeah. Not only is it a great day, not only is it a great day that we get to gather together for worship, but today, listen. Today is National Ice Cream Day. Yeah! That's not like I get to worship God. That's not the same, but it's getting there, right? It's getting there. It's like after we worship God, we should enjoy ice cream. But I'm just to let you know that Satan is active in the world. It is also World Snake Day. Isn't that bizarre? Is it? Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, well, so I get ice cream. Here's the truth. Satan is active in the world. And so, push the ice cream aside. The great joy is that there is victory in the shed blood of Jesus, right? And so we are here today to praise him for that. And so here's some real announcements. It really is National Ice Cream Day, but here's some real announcements. Hey, next Sunday, we're going to have baptisms in the morning service. Yeah. We got some people who have given their life to the Lord, and they want to identify with that and tell the world that Jesus is their King. Amen. Hey, we also have the camp out, so we have scheduled and locked in the days. Now, you remember, all of the weekends are booked, and so the dates are August 6th through the 10th. And so that is a Sunday. We can go up to Frenchman's. It'll be at the Cottonwood Campground. And so we have a bunch of sites. We have a bunch of space. August 6th, that's a Sunday. We can get up there at 2 o'clock, right? Don't get up there before 2. You can't kick people out of their site, right? 2 o'clock, and then we can camp through the 10th. And so we have to leave by 2 o'clock on the 11th. And so that's for the camp out. It's going to be kind of first come, first serve. If anybody takes my spot, then you're going to have to say, Pastor, you should have been there first. All right? Okay? All right. Also, we have a sign-up sheet for the Faith Night, for the ACES Faith Night. And so make sure you get signed up because Alan has to have a count. We need to purchase the rest of the tickets. We need to finalize that count. And so sign up on there. It's on the bulletin board. Get your name on there. Get how many tickets you need because Alan's going to secure that. We need to know by next Sunday at the very latest, okay? Please sign up for that. Also, hey, listen, the next round of kids going to camp, they're leaving tomorrow. We have some parents, and not your children, but some other children. So we have some parents who are like, my kids are gone, and we have some kids who are like, my parents will be gone. Be praying for the kids at camp. They have an experience with God, right? And I don't just mean like an experience. I mean an actual life-changing experience to where when they get back from camp, it doesn't wear off, right? How many of you went to camp as a kid or as a youth or something like that and camp wore off? Maybe it took a couple weeks, but camp wore off. And so we need these kids. We need to be praying that these kids have an experience that won't wear off, right? They need to be ready to come back to the world. And then also we have this. Download the app. There's a QR code. It's on the announcements. It's not on the screen yet. I'm sure they're going to put it up there. Download the app because as we're moving forward and getting the app all finalized, it's active and it's ready to go. They're making changes and stuff like that. You'll get some of the announcements. You'll get some of that stuff as the events and things that are going on through the week. You'll get those if you download the app. But we know that not everybody has downloaded the app yet. So on your phone, scan that QR code, get the My Church app, get our app that is our Cold Springs Valley Church app, and it'll ask you some things, fill out a connection card, do all that kind of stuff. I'm about done with announcements. Right? If you are a visitor here, and you're like, hey, I'm not downloading your app until we know who you are, that's cool. But please fill out a connection card because we want to just show you who we are and harass you throughout this next week. So just fill out a connection card, put it in one of the offering boxes, and we would like to be praying for you this week. If you have prayer requests, same thing. Please put it on an envelope, put it on a piece of paper, put it on whatever you have, put it in the offering box, and then on Tuesday night when we pray together corporately, we will be praying for your prayer requests, okay? And there's a little thing on there. If you don't want to be contacted, just circle no. And most of the time I'm pretty good about that, but I ain't promising anything. Okay? All right. Hey, let's worship. Amen? Yes. All right.
Steve, could you just turn these lights down a hair? Is it blinding up here? appreciate it. Thank you so much. Our tech guys are awesome. Marshall and Steve in the back.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo!
You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. I will sing it again. You are so good to me. You blood. You died upon the cross. You are my Jesus who loves me. You poured out all your blood. You died upon the cross. You are my Jesus who loves me. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song.
let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge, to which I may continually come. You have given the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Amen. Hallelujah. Can we all get a hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right. We do not have a testimony today, so children are dismissed.
Yeah. Well, good morning. This thing kind of has a mind of its own, at least on my head. It kind of goes in and out, in and it just, so just, usually I'm loud enough. Mostly this is for the live stream and such, I think. I don't know. So I'll just try to be loud. I'll try to leave the obnoxious part out of it. I'll try to be loud. But today, we're going to continue in 1 Corinthians. We've been going through 1 Corinthians, and it's just a couple of things. The church at Corinth was a very prestigious city. It had a lot of wealth. It had a lot of things in Corinth. And the church in Corinth, you had some wealthy people and you had all these types of things. But in chapter 1, Paul also reminds us and tells us that, or it was, as he was speaking to them, tells them that, listen, you guys weren't lacking anything. Like, you weren't lacking any spiritual gift. You weren't lacking any of this stuff. And so we see that there seems to be, at the church of Corinth, a lot of things happening and a lot of things taking place, and a lot of godly things and a lot of worldly things. And so this is what we have in the Corinthian church. We have the two worlds that we live in as well. You have the world that is the world, and then you have the life being the life in the body of Christ. And so what's happening in Corinth is what ends up happening with all, anybody in here prideful? Let me just ask. Any of you think you're not, any of you humble? Let's ask this. Any of you humble in here? You know, like me, like really just, I'm so humble. Right, here's the thing. We have a pride. And so what happens at the church at Corinth, and what happens with the church here, like not just Cold Springs, but I mean the church, is God starts to do something and they start taking credit for it. They start acting like, thinking like, portraying that it's them who's doing something. And so as we've been going through Corinthians, this first letter, we're going to be in the fourth chapter. And when we get to this fourth chapter, we've been taking it kind of slow in this fourth chapter because it's broken down into these different parts, or at least I've broken it down into these different parts. And you remember, he starts out, he's talking about these ministers and how ministers should be regarded. And so today, we're going to talk about ministers as sufferers for Christ or of Christ, right? And so who's had some suffering in their life? Suffering is universal, okay? Now suffering is universal, and so when we get to this scripture, here's the thing. I'm really excited about the scripture in one sense, right? I'm really excited about it in one sense because of the hope and everything that comes from this scripture and that comes from, or that we're supposed to and we should walk away with from our suffering and the fact that we do suffer. But the hard part is, it's hard to talk about suffering in a group of people who have also suffered like you, but in a group of people who have suffered in ways that I've never experienced. And so, like, we go through, and we've all suffered to a degree, but, man, as I look out in the church, and I see some of the things that the faces that are here, and I know some of the stories, and I know the things that people have gone through and suffered through and God has delivered through and all these types of things. I tell you, when we talk about suffering, it gets kind of hard from this place. And so thankfully, we get to go to the scriptures. And thankfully, here's the truth. We've all suffered. We know that. How many of you, you don't have to raise your hand because I know the answer. How many of you suffered because you did something stupid? Right? See, we got some honest people. We've all suffered because we've done something stupid. Now, when the scripture talks about, now this is why I'm excited. Here's why I'm excited. Because Jesus reigns. Amen? Now, here's the thing. Now, I'll choose my words carefully or I won't. We've all done stupid things, and so we can say that we've all had stupid moments in our life. The suffering that the Bible talks about here that we're going to get into is not suffering because you were stupid or you did something stupid. Okay, the suffering that we're going to talk about today is a completely different suffering. It's a suffering because of Christ, it's a suffering like Christ, and it's a suffering for Christ. Now, here's the beauty in our suffering, even out of our stupidity. When we turn to Christ, he uses even our stupidity and the suffering that we faced or went through or are facing prior to coming to him. When we come to him, he uses all of that. Right? Now, it's not like, hey, I was an idiot, so God just turned that into everything. No. It's like, man, I can't believe how God has saved me. If for nothing else, I don't know how many of you can be like, man, my testimony is like this. I was a wretch. And I suffered, and I faced hardship, and I faced this. And I, here's the thing. I went to prison because I was a crackhead and a crack dealer, right? And so Jesus used that suffering. No. You come to Jesus. And all of that now has a purpose. But if you're not in Christ and you're suffering because of a stupid thing that you've done or a stupid way of life or something along those lines, because you're making decisions and you're not in Christ, you're not following Christ, you're not walking with Christ, the Spirit of God, the Word of God, these things are not directing your life, then your suffering will continue and it is not for Christ's glory. God is letting it happen in your life to teach you, hey, quit making stupid decisions. Make the right decision and come to me through my son. So when we talk about this suffering today, this suffering we're going to talk about, Paul says, listen, as a minister, suffering is something that should come. And so the problem in the Corinthian church is that they're not suffering, and we're going to get to this. They're not suffering, and God says, hey, or Paul says, that's not right. And so he's going to use some contrasting statements here. As we get through this, as we read this, we're going to read verse 8, and we're going to read all the way down to verse 13. And so we're reading it in the ESV, but don't worry, you'll be able to follow along. I have a Bible up here, so in case anybody wants to make sure I'm reading from the Bible, but this is my scripture journal. I don't want anybody to freak out he's not preaching from the Word of God. I am. I have a mentor who always teaches me and says, whenever he teases me and he says, hey, did you use the word this week? And it's just, he gives me a hard time. I want you to know this is the Bible, okay? It's scripture right here, all right? It's just my notebook. And so if you'll stand as we read the word of God together. We're going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, start at verse 8, and we will read through 13. Already you have all you want. Already you have become rich. Without us, you've become kings. And would that you did reign so that we might share the rule with you. For I think that God has exhibited us as apostles as last of all, like men sentenced to death, because we have become a spectacle to the world, to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are held in honor, but we in disrepute. To the present hour, we hunger and thirst. We are poorly distressed and buffeted and homeless. And we labor working with our own hands. When reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we entreat. We have become and are still like the scum of the world, the refuse of all things. Father, we come before you today. Lord, as the truth of your word, Lord, can change lives. Lord, your word tells us that it is sharper than any two-edged sword, that it divides. It's down to the marrow. And so, Father, we need to be divided. Lord, we need to be divided from our flesh, Lord, to be able to live in your spirit, to live by your spirit. And so we ask, Lord, we beg, and we ask, trusting that you will do the work that only you can do. And so divide. Speak to us. Change us, Lord Jesus, and have your way. In your name, amen. Please have a seat. So, I don't know about you, but sarcasm is one of the many tools that I have in my toolbox. Okay, one of the few tools that I have in my toolbox. Paul uses some sarcasm here. There's a place for sarcasm, right? Man, you want to read a good book? You just read the Bible. It's got everything you want. And so you get to this place of sarcasm, and Paul uses some sarcasm here. And when he makes this statement, already you have all you want. Already you've become rich. Without us, you become kings. And so he starts to say these types of things because here's what's happening. From the Corinthians' own point of view, they're full, they're rich, they're reigning. But it's to this frame of mind that Paul is being sarcastic too. And when he says, how I wish that you really did reign so that I could reign with you, right? He's kind of one of those things that it's sarcasm. Now he's playing on some truth here because there is some truth. Listen, if you're in Christ Jesus, we're going to talk about three principles here today, and there's three principles. And the first principle that I'm going to talk about is if you're a Christian, if you're in Christ Jesus, you are both a king and a pauper, right? You are both rich and poor. Listen, in Christ Jesus, we have everything that is his. We have all the riches, we have all the wealth, we have all the power, we have all the glory, we have all of that stuff. Ephesians tells us we sit with him, right? We sit with him in heaven. That's where we are positionally. All of you are sitting in seats in Cold Springs, and you're like, man, this ain't heaven, right? And so positionally, spiritually, the truth is if you're in Christ, all of that is who you are. You're a king. You get to reign with him. But here's the other thing. We're left down on this world not to live as kings, to live as paupers, to live as the poor, to live as this. And so this first truth is that you are both. And the example is Christ. Listen, we're just going to talk about Jesus today. How's that sound? The example is Jesus, that he has set aside his kingdom, right, his kingship. He set that aside. He didn't like say, oh, I'm never going to be king again. No. He came as king, but he left his place in heaven to come what? Be one of us. I don't know about you. If you're like, man, I'm in heaven. I'm sitting on a throne. How many of you would just kind of exchange that and be like, hey, anybody have an enemy? Okay, here's the thing. We're sitting in church, so we don't want to admit this kind of stuff, right? Anybody before you came to Christ have an enemy? Right? How many of you, let me ask you this, how many of you, like I'm talking that person who, like, man, they did you dirty. Right? And you're like, ooh, if I ever get my chance, right? And you're in church, so we're talking past life. How many of you would give up a throne in heaven with all authority? Not just like my kids listen to me sometimes, I have that much, I'm talking all authority. I'm talking creation bows down to you. How many of you would set that aside and take the place of your enemy so that your enemy could sit on your throne? You see, in Christ Jesus, we are kings, but we are also paupers. We are to take our place. He says we are scum of the earth. Now, any of you don't run around saying, hey, I'm scum of the earth. Like, I want to make sure. The point is, listen, the way people see them or the way that people treat them, he says That's no big deal. That's actually who we are. Because if me being this way puts you in Christ's presence, if it brings you to Christ, that's the point. And so the first principle is this. Yes, in Christ Jesus, you are a king. You rule with him. You will. We're not in heaven yet. We don't experience this yet. We're not gonna until glory comes. But that's the truth. It's set in Christ. So it's set in stone. He's the cornerstone. He's the capstone. He's the foundation stone. He is the stone. He is the rock. And so it's for sure. But it's not experienced it yet. There are certain things that in Christ, you get to live as a king, right? You don't walk around your house. This is my castle. I'm king of this castle, right? I try it. It doesn't work. But in my heart, knowing that I am a king with Christ, in Christ, by Christ, for Christ, my life is lived differently. There's authority in my life now. And so all of those things, right, all of those things are now true. And so you think, man, I'm a king. Kings don't suffer. You're not sitting in your place of kingship yet, okay? Positionally, you're there. He says, listen, it's good. In my son, it's good. Don't worry about that. First Peter tells us it's secure. It's set. It's up there. It's safe. Don't worry about it. Right? Don't try to like live and be like, oh man, if I do this thing, it's all just, no. Just live for Christ. It's secure in him. In him. In him. Remember, I got to do this. Hands up. Your hands are out. Stick them in your armpits. Take them out. Put them in your armpits. Take them out. There was a difference when your hands were in your armpits than when they were out, right? So being in Christ, there's a difference. There's a difference of being in Christ and knowing about Him. There's a difference of being in Christ and in church. And so the in, there's something that has to take place. You know there's a difference. And so in Christ Jesus, your salvation is secure. Okay, that's good. You're a king. One day you will get to reign with Him. Now, ladies, this is not like, what about me? He who rules the roost, right? But she who rules the rooster. That's not how this works. We're all kings in Christ. Okay? The point is in Christ. Now that you're in Christ, as the king, as the one who rules with Christ, from Christ, by Christ, for Christ, you set all of that aside so somebody else can be there too. Romans 12:1 says what? Therefore, brothers and sisters, offer your bodies as what? As things of comfort so that I get to enjoy everything that I think or do or desire. That is not scripture. What does it say? Therefore, offer your bodies as what? A living sacrifice. Take a breath. You're all still living at this point. So a living sacrifice, here's the wording. A living sacrifice, that means while you're alive, while He continues to give you life here on this earth, your life is lived for Him. And so it's whatever your life can give, whatever you can give of your life, whatever you can give of yourself, you sacrifice that for Him. This is your what? Continue. This is your spiritual act of, you want to worship God? Give yourself as a sacrifice. Right? That's not like, hey, where's the altar? Where's the altar in your heart? Where can you set aside who Christ has made you? Now listen, setting aside doesn't mean that it's not real or it's not there. Setting aside just means, here's the thing, I'm going to esteem you better than myself, even if you're my enemy. I'm going to esteem you better than myself so that when you see what Christ has done in me through this act, you'll be like, hey, what gives? How many of you have that person, that enemy or whatever, when you think about it, if you would have just lived this way, if you would have just said everything you had and being right, like, here's the thing, somebody hurt you. You were right, right? I mean, because they hurt you. Let's get to the truth. I was hurt by somebody. I was the one who was right. They offended me, so I was hurt. What if you set all of that aside so that they could be in your place? They'd be like, whoa, what are you doing, right? How many of you like sports? Let's go with football. Let's go with the greatest sport. Right? You got the ball in your hand. You're running. It's free and clear. Let's say you just stop and you turn and you walk right into the other end zone. You're like, man, I just wanted to put some points on the board for you. Your teammates, here's the problem. It's a lame illustration, but listen, it works because your teammates would be like, why would you do that? You see, in the Western church, we tell everybody that, no, you're in Christ, so you should have all this stuff. You should be comforted. You should be all of these things. You shouldn't have to suffer. You shouldn't have to sacrifice. That's not who God wants you to be. You shouldn't give of yourself for somebody else. Like, that's your stuff. You earned it. How many of you are going to work next week? How many of you want a paycheck at the end of the week? How many of you are going to say, I earned my paycheck? Just give it to somebody. Be like, mm-mm. He can take my shift, but he can't take my check. You see, we live with the wrong mentality. Since you are kings, He calls us to live like Him on this earth, to give of ourselves, to give of our riches. They're not yours anyway. Remember, He just covered that. So He's using this sarcasm. And he says, listen, you already have all you want. You already have all this stuff. You're just kings. He says, he's using the sarcasm to say, man, get this out of your head. Quit walking around like you're the cat's meow. Everything you have and everything you are is because of Christ. But it's also for Him. And so this is what he's saying. Now, with those principles, working backwards in those principles, here's the other principle, or another one. The authentic cost of Christianity The authentic cost of Christianity is to give of yourself. And so here's this principle. Since that is one of the authentic costs, if you're experiencing a buffeting, because what he talks about here in this scripture, he says, listen, I wish that you already were king so that we could be with you. Because if you're in Christ, what you have in Christ, you give to the others. Like, this is not one of those things to where we should be like, hey, I need to be better than my other Christian brother and sister. It's like, no. We are all the same. And so it's not like, man, I hope I get there before you because, man, I want the first prize sticker. Listen, everybody gets the first prize sticker. How can I help you to get there? And how can I expect you to help me to get there? That's the point. There's no higher positions in the church. There's Christ as the head, and then we all serve him. And so here's the thing. There's a buffeting and a blessing. And so these two other principles are this. First, if we're being blessed in our Christian life, it is self-evident that others are being buffeted. Because remember, the premise of all of this is in Christ Jesus. If you are suffering in Christ Jesus, that's the buffeting. If you're being blessed in Christ Jesus, it's because somebody else is suffering. This is what he's talking about. And so those are the two principles. If you're being blessed, it's because somebody else, it's self-evident, it's axiomatic, somebody else is being buffeted. And it's not that God only has so much, but the point of Christianity is that we give of ourselves for others to be like Christ, to know him. And so if you're suffering in Christ Jesus, that's the buffeting. It's a blessing, or it should be, it's supposed to be a blessing to somebody else. You suffer so others can be blessed. That's what Christ did. Remember? What did Christ do? He went to a cross because we deserved it. He was beaten because we deserved it. He died because we deserved it. Did he do it for himself? No. So he was buffeted so that you could be blessed. And so here's these principles. And one's the other. Now, in verse 9, he says, for I think that God has exhibited us apostles as last of all, like men sentenced to death, because we have become a spectacle to the world, to angels, and to men. So here's what he says. What he's using is, war is different now. Let's go back to the football thing. Who remembers the, like, you spike the ball in the end zone? You're like, yeah, you do the dance. Remember when they said you couldn't do that anymore? They were going to start fining people? The victory dance. Well, back in old times, when the war was over, there was a victory dance, okay? They didn't shake their booty. They didn't do all that kind of stuff, but here's what they did. The triumphant king, he would take his army. He would walk in the procession, and he would lead the procession, and his army would follow behind him, and then you know who would follow behind that as a public spectacle would be those who lost the war, whoever survived. They would come next, and then the spoils of that, like, not only did we kick your butt, but we took all of your money too. That would follow. The spoils would follow. And then you know what would follow? The king who was defeated would follow. But here's the point. It's not just like a neener, we beat you. It was a public spectacle, because what happened is that king was being sentenced to death. And so the public spectacle was that not only did we beat you, but we're going to put you to death. And we want everybody to see that. And we want everybody to acknowledge that. And so death was whatever. They were going to kill him. However, they were, you remember the whole gladiator story? They put him in the thing and they faced lions and they all these types of things. That's what was for this king. And so when we think, wait, we're kings in Christ, this is what Paul says. As a minister of Christ, this is where your position is as king. Not that you've been defeated, but you live a life like you've been defeated as a king. He says, and so we as apostles, and he's just sharing the truth. We as apostles, we as these ministers, we as these people, God has used us in this way by the world. The world is going to tell you as a Christian, you're stupid, this is whatever, blah, blah, it's not real, all this kind of stuff. The world is going to be working against all the things that Christ is doing in you. All the things that the Holy Spirit is trying to move you, change you, transform you. The world is going to tell you that stuff is all nonsense. And if you continue in that, then you're what? Weak-minded? I've heard weak-minded. I've heard it's just your crutch. I've heard all kinds of stuff. And so the world treats you like you're this king. You're going to waste your life. You're going to come to the end of your life and you're going to die and it'll be for nothing. But I'm going to live for the world and I'm going to live for myself and I'm going to live for the riches and I'm going to have this huge company and I'm going to drive all these cars and I'm going to have a jet and I'm going to have all these things and blah, blah, blah. And guess what? You're going to die too. And when we die, we're going to face Christ. And you're either going to say, okay, Lord, well, here's the thing. If I could bring all my stuff, I'll give it to you now for your glory. And so just can I just bring my stuff into heaven and we'll just all enjoy my stuff now that we're in heaven? That's not how the conversation is going to go down, just so you know. Now you're like, wow, should I not have anything? No, because there's a flip side to this coin. It's not wrong to be blessed. The Corinthians were blessed. The Corinthians were blessed with everything. I mean, excuse me. Listen, when he's making this contrast, he says, listen, we're fools, because he's making the distinction. We're fools for Christ's sake, but you're wise in Christ. He says, we're weak, but you're strong. You're held in honor, but we're in disrepute. And so what he's saying is inside you guys are boasting in all these things. You guys have all these blessings, but the problem is you're focused on the blessings. Instead of the blesser, instead of the giver, you're focused on all of the blessings. And what Paul is trying to say, listen, you're blessed, we're despised. You have all these things, we're the ones buffeted. And so it's not wrong to be blessed, but it's wrong to boast in your blessing. Man, look at me, I got all this, and I got all this, and I got all this. And people do it. People, they're boasting in their gifts. I speak in tongues, I do this. Oh, I can understand the word, I can teach a Bible study. I got people who want to listen to me, I got blah, 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 and all this stuff. And they start boasting in themselves and boasting in the gifts that they had nothing to do with. You know who gives you a gift? Christ. Christ sees you and says, this is the gift I want you to have. And so he uses himself and the relationship that he wants to have with you. He says, listen, this is the gift I want you to have. And then guess what? The Holy Spirit comes and he takes. He takes that gift that Jesus is giving and he gives it to you and he applies it to you. And he empowers you with it. It's a blessing. And so don't boast in like, oh, man, I got this gift. I'm such an awesome whatever. No, you're not. He is. There's one Spirit. There are many gifts. There's one Spirit. There's one Spirit, and so the boasting needs to be in Christ Jesus because it's only available to you because of Christ Jesus and what he did. And so this church has all these spiritual gifts. This church has all this financial gift. This church has all these things. They have wisdom. They have all of these types of things, and what they're doing is they're boasting in that stuff instead of boasting in Christ, and they're actually letting it divide them. Once you start boasting in anything other than Christ, it will start to create a division. You know why? Because you start establishing things. All those who can do this are over here. All those who do this are over here. Right? And we give awards and all that kind of stuff. We do all these kinds of things. But how about this? If we all boast in Christ, if we all just humbly acknowledge that everything that I have in my life that is good, Christ gave it to me. And when you say, so, hey, how about this or how about that? Oh, man, that's the Lord's. And I don't mean just say it, because here's something has to take place in here, okay? Because we can say it all day long. How many of you have given a false compliment? Oh, wow, Pastor, that shirt fits nice. When what you mean is it's really tight. We can use words and think we're doing something good with it, but it turns into false humility, turns into false pride, it turns into all kinds of stuff. But if we just give it all to Christ, and we, here's the thing, when we give it all to Christ, we don't just use words that boast in him. It's an actual like, okay, Lord, this actually belongs to you. Like, I mean, it actually belongs to you. And it's one of those things, if you think of, you don't have to voice it. Think of your prized possession. I don't know. Maybe it's a stack of cash. Maybe it's a car, a motorcycle. Who knows? Maybe it's a person. But you have this prized possession, this thing that you don't want to lose. Now, it's okay to not want to lose, like, your family and stuff like that. But here's the thing. Like, you don't want to lose. Does it really belong to Christ in your heart? Like, I mean, really? Does it really belong to Christ? Where if Jesus, right, and you're like, man, I would need Jesus to come and tell me. Trust me, he's got a way to let you know. But, I mean, it really belongs to Christ. And Christ says, listen, I want you to give this to whatever, because you're giving it to him. You see, if it already belongs to him, anybody got $100 in their wallet? Anybody? We're not going to mug you. I'm just asking a question, okay? All right, did you see that mug? Okay, just got $100 in your wallet. Here's the thing. I will give your $100 to anybody in this church. You know why? Because it's not mine. Now, if I can only do that if you give me permission. Pastor, here's $100. I want you to give it to anybody you want. This is mine. I'm giving it to you to use. And so you're going to use this and give this to somebody. It's much easier to give it away, right? Here's the problem that the Corinthian church, here's the problem that many of us do with the blessings God's given us. Many of us take that blessing and say, oh, I'm the person that he wanted to bless with. She wanted me to have the $100 to give to who anybody has need. Well, guess what? I all of a sudden found a need in my life. That's what we do with the spiritual gifts. That's what we do with the things that God has given us. And we think that he just gave it to us. No, he gave it to you to bless somebody else. And that's going to take a buffeting. That's going to take a suffering. Because here's the thing. You've been blessed because others are suffering. Somebody gave of themselves so that you could be blessed. That's the truth. And so you, listen, take the blessings while they're here. You can go through Scripture, go through any life of any of the patriarchs, anybody in the Scriptures. Blessing, right? Mountains and valleys. Blessings and buffetings, right? Throughout the whole life. Take the blessings, enjoy them, just don't take them and qualify them as yours, by you, because of you, anything like that. Take the blessings. Give him the praise, make sure you boast in him, and make sure you use it according to how he wants. Now, when you're in the buffeting, when you're in the suffering, this is the hard one. And here's the truth. It's really hard not to think, poor me in the suffering, right? Because it's just, I would say, maybe for some of you it's not. I would say, it's just as hard, for me at least, it's just as hard as it is like the prized possession you're just going to give away. Like to really, for it to really be the Lord's. But here's the thing, your suffering is also the Lord's. And so your suffering, instead of like saying, well, poor me, why am I suffering? I'm not saying don't ask the Lord. Listen, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying don't ask. But here's what the answer is going to be. Because he has a purpose for it. And because he will be glorified in it. And so it's, again, about saying, okay, well, Lord, then this suffering, even though I'm dealing with the physical suffering, I'm the one who has the pain. Listen, he does too. Because you are not alone. When he took up residency in your life, everything you now feel, he has not only already felt and gone through, but he goes through it with you. So when you suffer, he's already suffering. When you suffer, the church is supposed to suffer together. We're supposed to grieve with one another. We're supposed to suffer with one another. So here's the thing. Your suffering, this is not, your suffering is also his. It's not your suffering. Because he loves you, because he saved you, because he knows you, he's allowed you, given you specifically that suffering for somebody else to be blessed. And so when we realize that our blessings are his and we realize that our sufferings are his, it makes it easier. Now, here's what we have to do. We have to make sure that we keep that in the frame of our mind. There's a reason the Scripture says you have to be renewed. You're transformed by the renewing of your... Everything comes from that. Your attitude, all that stuff comes from your mind. And so you need to be renewed in your mind. And so some of the things to be renewed in our mind are just exactly that.
And there's different kinds of suffering. Listen, I'm not going to say anybody's suffering is worse or what. Like, but here's the thing. I've suffered in ways that you haven't, and you've suffered in ways that I haven't. And even if we've suffered in the same type of circumstance, it doesn't make our suffering the same. And we've already declared and acknowledged that we all suffer. And we've already declared and acknowledged that we will all continue to suffer somehow, some way. Some of it will be scrutiny. I tell you what, as a pastor, man, I didn't know so many people had so many things against me. Like, man, when I was in the world, it wasn't like that. You come as a pastor and, man, like, there's all this scrutiny. Some of you are the boss at work. And all the coworkers are like, man, well, if I was the boss. Different kind of scrutiny. But if you're in Christ, that scrutiny is his suffering. Because you're in a blessed place. And so the scrutiny, here's the thing. How about physical ailments? Man. You know, I can whine about this bum knee I got, you know, I heard a guy, you know, this guy was telling this comedian one time, he's talking about he's in his 30s. He's like, man, my knees are just hurting. He's like, and I was giving my spiel, whatever, to this crowd. And he says, there's an older gentleman in the crowd. And he says, yeah, what number are you on? And he's like, what do you mean? He's like, well, that's your original set, right? He's like, come and talk to me when you're on number two or number three. But the thing is, the physical suffering, I can talk about a bad knee. I can talk about certain things. But here's the thing. I've never had cancer. I've never been ran over by a car. I've never, right? Like, you could fill in the blanks. And so the point is not a comparison and this is what I have and this is what you have. The comparison is this. The suffering that I have, God has given to me to be a blessing for somebody else. As long as I'm in him. And if I'm in him, all the suffering that I faced because I was stupid, in him now has a purpose. Now has a blessing for somebody else, or now has a blessing in me. We were talking in the Next Steps class this morning about how we were talking about like testimony and not just your salvation testimony, but about after you realize, like you write your testimony, your salvation testimony, you start seeing things that God was doing in your life before and how God used certain things to get you to that point. And so even like, man, those things that you did, and you're like, man, that was really stupid. God is now using that. Because now in Christ, you've grown. But if you weren't in Christ, you wouldn't have grown out of that. You wouldn't have. And so many of us continue to face certain things, and we're like, man, why is it the same thing? Why is it the same thing? Why is it the same thing? Well, here's the thing. There's a couple of reasons. Sometimes it's because we didn't learn. Right? Sometimes it's because we didn't learn. Sometimes I still hit my head on the same cabinet every single time. You know why? Because I didn't learn yet. When you do learn, and as you do learn, as you share and realize and understand that all of that in Christ Jesus all has a purpose and it all is to bless somebody else. All of those things in him, for him, and by him have so much more than what we would do with it ourselves. And he says this, the work of a minister should be a blessing to others. He talks about this. I want you to know that as he says this, there's an ongoing suffering. We should be happy because there's some other. He says, to the present hour, we hunger and thirst. We are poorly dressed and buffeted and homeless. We labor working with our own hands. When reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we endured. When slandered, we entreat. We have become and are still. You see, the suffering, this stuff is going to continue. It's going to keep coming. And here's the reason. Here's the reason we should suffer, because God chooses the weak. God chooses the weak for many different reasons. One, because then he gets the glory so that all boasting is given to him. But he chooses the weak so that you'll actually depend on him instead of depending on yourself. It makes you a powerful witness when you're like, okay, listen, I was done. I got no strength in myself. Man, the wisdom that I have, the whatever that I have, that just say whatever it is, just acknowledge it. It's not wrong to acknowledge what you have. What's wrong is to think that it's yours. And so just take it and say, man, this whatever it is that I have, thank you, Lord, for it. Help me to be a good steward of it. And the suffering that you have, I just want you to hear this. The suffering that you have, because he lists different kinds of suffering. I mean, he talks about clothing. Like, he's like, man, I don't have a nice wardrobe. I don't have, I'm hungry. That's true a lot for, but no, he's hungry because he's going without. He's not hungry because he chose not to eat. He's hungry because he's given whatever of himself fully to Christ. And so he lists all these things, and he says, and here's the thing. Even if I get a meal, it's not the last time I'm going to be hungry. He says, you are now and still will be. And so there's this suffering. There's this life that's going to continue because God chooses the weak. Because he wants us to be weak so we're dependent upon him. Because in your strength, you'll know whose strength it is. And who gets the proper glory is the one who needs it and deserves it and is the only one worthy of it. And so he says this, it's going to continue. But he talks about this work. He talks about this present hour, we hunger and we thirst, we're poorly dressed, buffeted, and homeless. We labor working with our own hands. And so he talks about all these things that they're suffering. And so he's not saying those are the only places you will ever suffer. He's making a point to them that these are the things, but even though we suffer in all of these different things, we still labor with our own hands. And so it's not like, hey, go out and do a bunch of really good work. It's not what he's saying, okay? Now, you should be, as a Christian, there's certain things you should be doing. Like there's certain things that you have to, that we call them disciplines. And I ain't just talking like, read my Bible, this kind of this. No. Here's the thing. If you have a problem with your neighbor, you do need to go talk to your neighbor. You do need to go and make amends. Like there's some of those things. We labor with our hands. There are things you must physically do after your heart is right. I just want you to know, I'm sorry. That's different than, you know what, I just want you to know that. I'm sorry. Listen, I messed up, I whatever. And you're like, man, it wasn't my fault. Doesn't matter. If it's Christ in you, you can go to your neighbor and you can be like, listen, but they might not, whatever. Don't worry about what they're going to do with it. Worry about what you're doing with what God's given you. That's what it is. He says, listen, this is going to keep on coming. He says, so when we're reviled, we bless. When people make fun of you, bless. How about this one? When persecuted, poke them in the eye. No. When persecuted, we endure. You know what? We endure. We don't put a stop to it. No. We endure. Well, how long is this going to last? How long are they going to make fun of me? How long are they going to say these things? That's not the question. The question is here. Just endure. When slandered, we what? We entreat. So it's not just like, hey, cool. When slandered, here's the truth. In Christ Jesus, don't you know who you are in Christ Jesus? Right? If you know who you are in Christ Jesus, just say amen. So if you know who you are in Christ Jesus, it means you know who you were without him. So when somebody slanders you, like, yep, that was me. You know what? You're right. I was. You know what? And forgive me if some of that came out. I'm sorry. I wasn't being attentive to the Spirit. Like, that just popped out again. I'm sorry. I apologize. Entreat. You know what defeats an enemy? Well, you agree with him. Man, this pastor shared the story one time. He says, you know what, somebody was came to my office and they said, you know what, so-and-so is saying this about me and this and this and this and this. And it's just not true. And the pastor said, well, just be happy that they don't know everything about you. Here's the truth. If you think you were something before Christ, then you probably haven't actually had an experience with Christ. You just haven't. Because when you come to Christ, listen, you go through the Bible, and anybody who had an experience with the living God, some sort of statement along these lines, I am undone, or depart from me, I'm unclean, or something along those lines. So if you experience Christ, here's the truth. You know who you are. But if you had an experience with Christ, you know who he is. And he says, yes, I came to you to show you that that's who you are, but I came to you to show you who I am. And who I am is the one who will deliver you, the one who will set you free, the one who paid for all of that. That's who I am. And so he says this, we're still like the scum of the world and the refuse of all things. Praise the Lord. Because I know before Christ, I was the scum of the world. I didn't have to be called the scum. I know what was in my heart. And so you know what? I don't care if the world is still there and the world still says, you know what? That's who you are, blah, blah, blah. Here's the thing. It doesn't make me hate them. You know what it does? It makes me say, man, I remember being there. And so how can I minister to that person? And I'd love to tell you that it's just so easy. Just so easy. Like Paul says, you know what? We do all this stuff with ease. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say it's going to be easy. He just is stating the truth. That's the beauty about the Bible. It just states the truth. But you know, some of that truth that it states, is it never says that it's going to be easy. And don't use this. Don't use the line that says, God will never give you anything you can't handle. That is not true. Don't take stuff out of context. God will give you stuff you can't handle so that you're dependent upon him. But he won't give you anything that there's not a way out or that there's not a help in him. That's completely different. And so we can't run around God's earth and say, you know what, I get to do this and I get to do this and I get to do this and just whatever, I get to do whatever I want. No, no, no. It's not yours, it's his. He will give you a way out. Now that doesn't mean like, oh, I can't pay my mortgage, and so the way out is I'm going to go rob the bank. Remember when Abraham did that, Abraham and Sarah? Take my handmaiden. No, no, no. Don't take things into your own hand. He gives you a way out that's in him. And sometimes, listen, sometimes, here's the hard one, sometimes that might be suffering through it. Sometimes that might be enduring. Well, you don't understand my situation. I don't have to. He does. He does. And there's some of you that are, all of you. The thing that you're suffering, I want you, if you're in Christ Jesus, and you're willing to just turn it all over and be like, okay, Lord, I need your forgiveness because I haven't seen this as your suffering. I haven't seen this as your blessing. And so now I want to live that way. Here's the thing. The suffering that you're enduring is the same as the gift. Jesus picked you for it. Okay? And it's really hard to say that, but that's the truth. He's picked you because he wants and he will be, if you'll keep giving it to him, if you'll keep trusting in him, if you'll endure in him, the blessing is there. And the blessing might be for somebody else. But the fact that you get to endure in him, that you get to suffer for him, is a blessing. Because it's not wasted, I promise you. He doesn't do anything that's a waste. So I'm just going to ask you for just a moment. First and foremost, I want you to think about it. I want you to, maybe you're already convicted about it. Like, let's start with the blessing side. Like, you can acknowledge that you're blessed, right? That, like, here's the thing. You live in America. You probably drove here. You've all eaten. You're all dressed. As long as you all picked that, then you dressed according to how you want to be dressed, right? You have all of these things and you have all of these blessings, right? And so none of us could be like, oh, I'm poor and I'm this and I'm this. Listen, this room is full of blessings, okay? Are you in a place, are you in a time? Are you ready to just say, okay, listen, all of these blessings are because of you. They're by you. But Lord, they are also for you. And so that means that your heart is in this place to where it's like whatever you have is for him. So that means you're willing. Now here's the thing. the Bible says, you know, only a fool says, well, let's go without counting the cost. And so this is serious. All of the things, including your own life, are for him. And so you'll give them to whatever he calls you to. That's the first one. You're like, wow, I didn't know there was so much weight with a blessing. Yes, there is. And the second part is the suffering. Okay, Lord, this is, I am suffering. I am going through this. That's the reality of it. Don't take that away. That's what it is. But Lord, this is your suffering. And I'm not suffering alone. I'm not going through this alone. And so since this is also not my suffering but yours, what is your intention? What is your purpose in this? Lord, even if it's just right now, even if you don't show me the end picture, so how can I suffer well? How can I suffer and be a blessing? How can my buffeting bless somebody else? Lord, help me endure. Maybe that's just it. Maybe you're like, man, I got this suffering, and I just need to endure. And it doesn't matter. Listen, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be something horrible. Don't compare your suffering to somebody else's. Maybe it's simply you can't pay your power bill, and you're like, I don't know what to... Listen, okay? Whatever your suffering is it his suffering? Is it for his purpose? Is it for his glory? Is it to be a blessing? Are you settled in that in your heart? And then the third one. We've already acknowledged that we know who we are in Christ Jesus. But are we ready to live in that reality? Both that you're a king and that you're a pauper. Both. And so you're willing to say, okay, Lord, what is that application in my life? Because maybe there's some stuff, maybe there's some places where you need to put your enemy up on the throne. You need to do whatever it is so that they can get there. And so that's going to be Romans 12:1. Your spiritual act of worship is offering yourself as a living sacrifice. Listen, in Christ Jesus, there's nothing anybody can take from you. But you have absolutely everything to give. And so do we have an invitation song? Yeah, so I'm going to ask you to just bow your heads. The worship team is going to come up, and they're going to play a worship song, an invitation. And so I just want you to take some time. I'm 10 minutes early from normal, so I don't want to hear it from nobody, all right? And so if you're here today and you're like, man, I just need my heart to be changed. I just need my heart to be changed, and I need it to be what God wants it to be. And so I'm going to give him not just permission, but full access, right? Some of you, like, you invite people over, and you're like, don't let them go in this room or go in that room. You shove everything in one room. I'm telling you, you're letting God have access to every room, everything in your life, and you're ready to say, Lord, okay, do what you want with it, whatever it is. You're given the opportunity to take and say, okay, Lord, here's my mess. Here's the room I've shoved everything. Here's where I've been hiding everything. Here's where all my sin, here's where all of it is. Lord, do whatever you want with it. Here's what he says. I paid for it on the cross. That's what I wanted to do with it. And so if you'll just trust in me, if you'll just come to me, if you'll just acknowledge that, then the room's clean. You've been clean. You've been set free. And then you get to start this life. You get to start from right now with a clean house. You get to start right now. You get to start being transformed. You get to start being changed because now in Christ Jesus, that's who you are. And no matter what you were headed towards, no matter what you were running towards, it can all be different. Today can be the day that your life was changed. And you're like, man, it's scary. I don't want to have to go up in front of people and admit something. Listen, this is not a guilt thing. This is the truth. Jesus said, listen, if you're afraid, right? If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. So if you're afraid to come public, to come, listen, Jesus is offering you salvation. Don't be afraid. Who cares? If these people want to judge you, then praise the Lord, you faced your first persecution as you're making a proclamation that Christ has saved you. And so praise the Lord. Turn around and say, man, bring on the persecution, because now that I'm in Christ, there's a power and there's a victory. It's won. It's finished. It's complete. And I want to live in that. I don't want to live in defeat. I don't want to live in shame. I don't want to live in guilt. I want power. I want victory. I want a new life. And you come and you say, Lord Jesus, save my soul. And man, when people come and they attack you, not that it doesn't hurt, but you're like, man, they didn't attack me. They attacked my Savior. You remember Samuel. Lord, they're rejecting me. They're picking, they want a king. And God says, no, no, no. They didn't reject you. They're rejecting me. Listen, your persecution, your rejection is against him. It's not against you. Don't take it personal. Take it to Jesus. And so you stand boldly that Christ is moving. You stand boldly. You come to the altar. You come to the pride in Jesus Christ. And listen, I was a wretch. I am a wretch. But he's fixing me. He's saving me. He's making me new. You stand in that. That's a boasting in Jesus, not in you. You don't worry about what they do with it. That's their problem. They'll have to answer for that. But man, you stand in the boldness. So there's a couple things that are going to take place. You just need to come to the altar. You just come to the altar. You just bow down. And you just pray. Because you don't need to talk to a man. Christ Jesus is your priest. You get flat on your face. I don't care. Maybe it's right there at your seat. Maybe the altar is your chair. Turn around. Get on your knees. Put your head in your seat. And you just grab a hold of it. And you say, Lord Jesus, just save me right now. Right here. This is not about a public spectacle. This is about Christ saving your soul. For some of you, maybe it does need to be public. Some of you, you're like, man, I've been saved and I've been this, but man, I've been walking in my own pride. I'm boasting in myself. I'm walking in this. Whatever it is, and you just need to confess to the church, like, listen, this is just where I'm at. I just want you to know because I need your prayers. I need you to intercede for me. And I tell you what, you'll have a whole church. You'll have a whole church full of people praying for you. Calling down the power of heaven for you. And so whatever it is that God's calling you to, please do not waste this time. Please do not sit ashamed. There is no shame in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation for all those in Christ Jesus. So you get to stand up and you get to move forward and you get to make the proclamation that Jesus is speaking in your heart. He's making a dirty old dog sinner like me save the saint by his blood. So Father, as the song's going to start playing, Lord, as we have our heads bowed down, Lord, salvation is a work that only you can do. We know that. We admit that. We acknowledge that. But Lord, I pray and I ask for the power for us to confess that publicly. Lord, for us to come to one another and ask for prayers, ask for intercession, for us to make proclamation that, Lord, you saved me. That, man, I was struggling with this, but here, the Lord set me free. He's called me from it. So Holy Spirit, would you just continue to move? Lord, move the feet that need to move. Lord, move the hearts that need to, Lord, those who need to just bow down, Lord, would you just help them to just bow down? Lord, show each and every heart, each and every soul that it's just you and them. For your glory and your praise. And so you pray and you let the song play. And as you need to come forward, you come forward. You come to the altar, you need to turn around, then you do that. And if you and the Lord have already been doing business and you're like, man, I just want to praise him, then you just stand up and you sing. And if you're there, man, I need to be praying for so-and-so. I need to, but then you stay right where you're at and you keep praying. You keep interceding. Because you're already being an answer.
Kneel down on the shore, be thirsty.
Second, we're not going to delay, we're not going to keep going, but if you're here today, there's nobody, look, this is just you and the Lord. If you're here today and you know that you were supposed to respond, okay, and you didn't, just put your hand up, because we just want to put, and just put your hand up, and we're gonna pray in just a second. So we're going to put our hands up in acknowledgement that we were, yes, I see it. Who else? Yes, I see it. Who else? Yes, I see it. Yes, yes. Put them up and leave them up. Leave them up. Maybe this is just, yeah, this is the obedience you need. Yeah, keep them up there. Father, we lift our hands in acknowledgement that, Lord, you're the only one who can save. You're the only one who can work. Lord, we lift our hands in acknowledgement that, Lord, you're calling us, that you're moving on our spirit, that, Lord, you're speaking. Lord, and that we were supposed to respond. And so, Lord, would you take this small step of response and obedience and just raising our hand as we pray. And Lord, acknowledging to you that, yes, Lord, I was supposed to respond, that, Lord, this would be our response, that you would just take that and you would grow that. And Lord, you would give us a boldness to respond, Lord, and share the grace and mercy that you've given us today. And so, Father, we respond in praise. We respond in worship. And we respond and tell you that it's all yours. And so do with as you see fit. And it is in the mighty, beautiful, precious name of Jesus that we pray. And all God's children said, amen. 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 All right. Well, you guys, praise. Here's the thing. Praise the Lord. And as God has put somebody or something on your heart, man, share that with somebody. Go find that person that's on your heart. Go find that person and just go pray with them. Just go talk to them. Just have a conversation and say, listen, we're here in the same place worshiping God. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Go have some fellowship.